we chat to Peter Allam right now and talking about asbestos roofs and rulings around that, as well as rental deposits. Peter, very good morning on this sunny Monday morning.
Yes, morning to all our listeners out there. Lovely morning again. A little bit chilly when I left home, but it's going to warm up and they say it's going to be about 25, 27, which is great. Such a nice day yesterday.
Indeed.
On the coast as well, so it's, the weather's coming too quickly and correctly to what people want.
Yes, hopefully summer is going to be here soon, and then we'll probably be sweating again. But nonetheless, we'll wait for that to happen. But Peter, two topics today, and two very interesting topics. Asbestos roofs. We were chatting off air, you were just briefing me.
Yeah. No, it's not asbestos roofs, Wayne. It's asbestos in general.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
The use of.
The use of asbestos, but not the use of, it's existing asbestos that's going to cause the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have already is that they've started now that with businesses, so you need to be very careful if you're a property owner and you rent your building to someone, or if you own your building, because asbestos has now been banned. You cannot have asbestos in your complex. So a lot of people don't realize they've got the old asbestos roofs, the old asbestos gutters, ceiling boards, water tanks are a big thing. You drive around and see those old asbestos water tanks and pipes. You get a lot of asbestos prefabricated buildings in the old days. So that was a big thing with houses, offices, shopping centers, factories, warehouses, you name it. They all used asbestos because that's what it was. So there's now Regulation C called the Asbestos Abatement Regulations of 2020 that states that every employer is obliged to have the workplace inspected by a competent person or authorized inspection authority. In other words, you're supposed to get that certificate done to confirm that you are free of asbestos. And at the moment, I'm told that the Department of Labor and employment falls under them.
Mm-hmm.
They're busy going around looking for your proof of asbestos inspections. If you can't produce one, the free certificate or the prescribed report can lead to prosecution. So it's only buildings. In 2011, asbestos was stopped. So if you've got a building that was bought after March 2011, you're okay. But if you don't have one, then you need to have that done, or you can perhaps get an inspection done by the department, as I said, of labor, and you can be exposed to a heavy fine in that regard. Asbestos exposure, they say, can lead to serious illnesses. You've got pleural diseases, you've got asbestosis.
That was a big one in the mines as well.
Yeah. And then there's cancer. I believe it can cause cancer as well, to name a few. So apparently the asbestos fibers of dust remains airborne for days. So when you breathe it in, that's what the problem is. And people that pick up that disease, they live for about 2 years only. It's a major cause of diseases, apparently, and disabilities. So be very, very careful with it. The inspectors can come around, and if no asbestos is found, they will issue a certificate for you. So there's no fear that if you don't have a certificate, if you've got no asbestos and you're asbestos free, and the inspector comes, he can produce a certificate for you. But you do get firms that have jumped in and are now doing inspections and issuing certificates. So that famous thing called Google. If you Google, you can find the guys that go around and give you that, proper certificate that you need. The other aspect of it is that it's also mandatory for property practitioners, which is the estate agents, owners or lessors, to disclose any asbestos materials in any property, be it residential, be it business properties, that must be disclosed in a lease agreement. So as an attorney, it is necessary for us to state that the building is asbestos-free or not. or an agreement of sale of a house or something, it needs to have a section in there that says that it's free from asbestos. So it's something that the agents need to look at, something that a seller needs to look at. Otherwise, it could render you liable for damages if you don't do that. So, you know, one needs to be cautious with asbestos. So going to become very strict with it. May was just a few months back, so, you know, don't adopt the attitude, oh, well, we haven't had an inspection yet, so we're okay.
We're okay.
You know, they're going to have a day when they've got nothing to do and they're going to, you know, decide they're going to do asbestos only. So be very, very careful. That's basically the chat that we have on asbestos.
Now, I'm not sure. Peter, a question around that. Let's say I own a great big warehouse building, and I, if I cast my mind's eye around East London, you know, if you go back to the era of the BKBs and the wool sheds and all of that, now a lot of those buildings on the West Bank especially have been taken over by Mercedes-Benz. If you look on the East Bank side of East London, the River Park building, for instance, was one of the old agricultural co-ops. And then the BKB building up in Arcadia, the old railway workshops, for instance. I'm just thinking of a couple of old buildings, and then all the old buildings in the CBD itself, you know, your little office complexes and things. What happens if, and I'm saying hypothetically, and then you move up into the Arcadia industrial area where Wilson Roundtree's, all those buildings are all old, you know, from that sort of era. There's a pretty good chance that those are all asbestos roofs. Do they have to...
A lot of them have got asbestos downpipes. You know, when I read this article, I said to myself, I can recall those big round, you know, there was no plastic JoJo drum.
Yes.
All the water tanks from the old days were those round asbestos ones that you bought from Everite. You know, you had the downpipes, you had the gutters in the old days.
Yeah.
But were not plastic, they were all asbestos. I remember, I mean, I see it like you're seeing it. I'm not going to say that those places haven't changed it.
They might have changed over time.
Might have changed it, but certainly I recall looking at that. In fact, I think that the SBDC even had asbestos, an asbestos fence around it, if I can recall. Asbestos sheets that were up around the whole surround. That might have changed now as well. But yes, so those people, unfortunately, are in for the high jump if they haven't changed it. They've got to change it. You know, a lot of people as well, is that the old nanny's room or servant's room, whatever you want to call it, or back room, in most houses in the older areas, I mean, they all had asbestos roofs. There's no doubt about that.
Yes,
and a lot of the verandas, you see those old houses with maybe a tin roof and then an asbestos veranda on it, that's, you know, in the front.
That old proverbial big six profile asbestos, and then there was another profile as well.
And then, of course, you also get a lot of asbestos, you know, the old Everite chairs and tables and that. Made from asbestos as well. So, yeah, very interesting. But that's it. That is the law, so you've got to change it. So to our listeners out there, beware.
Beware.
Have a look at your home. I came to work today and made sure that I had a look at all our gutters and our roof and everything after doing the research for today's radio
check.
So I came in here and have a look, and thank goodness we have no asbestos anywhere here. So we're one of those lucky ones.
And Peter, just a question, which maybe if we don't have an answer for directly, maybe something we can add later, is, let's say you find now your building has got asbestos on, so you get a contractor. Now, that asbestos obviously needs to be disposed of and taken off in a very careful way, so as not to actually cause more damage than what it's already doing. So you're needing qualified contractors now to remove that asbestos and then dispose of it in a safe way.
Absolutely. Not anybody can remove asbestos. You've got to get special permission to remove, or you've got to have a special certificate to be able to remove. So don't just think that you're going to take your asbestos, take it off and dump it at the dumps. That's not going to happen. You've got to make sure that it's disposed of correctly, 100% correct.
Right, so So that's something that's obviously going to be turning the whole property industry around a little bit and make people think, and obviously some costs involved in doing upgrades where necessary. Then, Peter, you were talking about rental deposits.
I've had a lot of queries lately from listeners, which is great. You know, I get a lot of calls these days from listeners to say, you know, I had a WhatsApp the other day from a listener who said that I moved out of the home 2 months ago, my deposit is not being paid. What is the position? Mm. Well, the landlord or the agent is looking for trouble in circumstances like that, because the Housing Act is now specified. It's actually written into the Housing Act that the rental deposit plus interest needs to be paid back to the tenant after the lease has expired. One, within 7 days if there are no damages. Two, within 14 days if there are damages and repairs are required. And within 21 days if a tenant refuses a joint inspection. Mm. So, you know, it's actually well set out in what I've just said there now. So what actually happens is that the tenant needs to cooperate as well. So, you know, it hasn't fixed the amount of a deposit that needs to be paid. But I can assure you that in this day and age, tenants are now looking for up to 3 months' deposit.
Wow.
To safeguard themselves. You know, there's just so much of it. I think it's an aspect of the law where I can quite comfortably say that from a collection point of view, every single day we get an instruction for somebody that's in a rear rental or that refuses to pay rental or with whom there is an argument. So, you know, a lease in writing is very, very important. Mm, mm. As a tenant, it's very important that you cooperate. You know, if you come with a clean record and you allow them to do a check on you, it's probable that they'll still stick with the old one-month deposit.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the Rental Housing Act is quite happy that it can be anything between 1 and 3 months. You know, they need, so you need to get your money back at the end of the lease. So the point is that a tenant needs to cooperate.
Mm, mm.
Your cooperation is going to get you your money back. You know, you need to make sure that you, I always say to tenants, please, please, when you move into a home, you know, if I do a lease and they come back to sign, I say, please do me a favor. Make sure that there's an entry inspection and make sure that you take photos of everything in the home.
Right.
Don't leave anything outstanding. Each room, room by room, might be a lot of photos, but, you know, get them, download them, save them somewhere. So similarly, when you leave, you've got photos to compare with photos. And, you know, the initial make sure that you have a snag list. You know, people are excited. They just want to move into a house, and they forget to do a proper snag list. They forget to do an entry inspection. So, you know, if their damage was there when you move in and you didn't notice them, or you noticed them and forgot to report them, you're the one that has to be held liable for
right.
it. So the moving condition of the property is very important. And as I say, the tenant is liable for damages if they have not listed them at the beginning. So, and don't refuse a joint inspection. You know, some tenants move out and they've had a hell of a blow up with the agent or the landlord and they just move on. That's to your detriment as a tenant.
Because you know, then it comes back.
Yeah, it's going to bite you. So, you know, make sure that you don't move or hand over the keys until you've done that inspection. And if the agent is playing games with you, make sure that you say, we moved out on the 31st. It's now the 6th and you're not coming for the inspection. What is the problem? Because the next thing you know is that they hit you for another month's rental and they tell you that it's, you know, it's not been done. So, you know, the deposit is there. It's in terms, like I said to you, the Rental Housing Act, which came in 1999, I think it was just before 2000, you know, it allows for a deposit, it's a safety net for a number of possible events. It's not just a safety net against the, you know, the tenant. Unfortunately, you have absconding tenants, you have damage to property, and you also have tenants that think that they can use the money that they have for their final month's rental. So you find that somebody's moving on, they're tired of the house or it's too and they find another place. So they say, oh, just use the deposit that you've got. You can't use that deposit. That's illegal. That deposit remains and must be paid back within those periods. That's why you'll get it back within 7 days if everything is good. So, yeah, you know, the landlord must give you a written receipt for your deposit as well, or the agent. They no longer can just take it and put it into their banking account and pay you back when they finished. It's compulsory for any housing deposit to be in a interest-bearing account. That's very important as well. So where is the account? What is the interest rate that I'm getting? So it must be in a specific account, there is interest. And then, in fact, an interesting aspect is that, as far as I know, the law is also such that, let's just say you have a one-year lease. After 6 months, you're entitled to say, okay, can you just give me proof of where my deposit is and what amount I've earned in interest, so that you know, you're aware of that. In other words, you can follow up and sort that out. So it's very, very important that you make sure that you adhere to the rules in that regard. As I say, those rules come from the Rental Housing Act of 1999, so it's not something that we can ignore. Very, very important to make sure that it's done properly.
And would those same rules apply for, let's say, business rentals, business premises rentals, or is there a slightly different approach for business?
No, it's not written down at the moment that the deposit must be invested in a business. Somehow they've got away with it, because the law that says it is applicable is the Rental Housing Act. So that act is separate from a business lease.
Okay.
It's houses only. So, you know, it's there. Joint inspection is necessary in terms of the act, an entry inspection and an exit inspection. So very, very important to make sure that it all happens,
Wow. Very, very interesting, and make sure that you understand the process before you get into it. Peter, thank you very, very much for the chat this morning. Of course, we will have the chat loaded on our website later today for downloading as a podcast. And Peter, if somebody wants to get in touch with Alums, how do they go about it?
They can like us on Facebook. It's A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. But, I mean, you know, just look that up and like us, and you can join us on the group there. We have now been posting weekly, thanks to you, Wayne, sending me the chat. And then I have been putting that onto the Alums group as well. So you can, if you missed the chat, you can pick it up there. Other than that, we're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent. Telephone 043-721-018. So, yes, we look forward to hearing from listeners. It's very, very nice to have feedback, to know that even though it may not be live on air, people are streaming and listening to
us. Listening in or downloading it if they don't get to listen to it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Peter, thank you very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Peter Alum with today's Legal Eagle. Some interesting topics and scary ones. If you are a business owner or a premises owner, and the premises has asbestos on it.